B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's episode, we get a key in on when the new Halo might be coming out. Also, The Sims is pulling a Fortnite and holding an in-game concert event. And Racist Gone Racist, a new military shooter, had a live event that didn't turn out so well. And Pokemon cards, Yu-Gi-Oh cards all over the place. You guys know I hate them, but apparently people are willing to spend millions on them. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey, everybody. What's up? Your host, Norris Howard, here again on this dreary Friday, but we hope everybody's having a great day. It's hot AF around most of the country, except for here in Michigan. But one thing I will say is that it is perfect gaming weather. And so we're going to talk about some video games. I am here to my left-hand side with Weird Beard. But don't panic, Chad still works here.
Oh, too soon.
I'm still mad that they you mentioned The Sims, that they took the pool ladders out of the pools in The Sims. Disappointing.
Well, we're not going to do digital murder here. We're not gonna support that.
That makes me a little on edge to ever invite you to D&D, because you're probably just gonna be a murder hobo, aren't you?
Oh no! I am the exact opposite of a murder hobo in D&D.
If you what happens when a paladin betrays his oath?
Murder! Kill him! Dead!
I rest my case.
No, why can't he just become a wanderer?
Yeah, he could. There's Oathbreakers.
No, you cannot be cast out into the wild. You are a sick person.
Let him be a wanderer and just walk the earth. You know, kind of like David Carradine in Kung Fu. Anyway, Robbie Landis is here.
I am here as well. That's right.
All right. Well, with that said, guys, here's what's happening in the world of gaming.
So we got some more Halo news. According to head of Xbox Phil Spencer, he says that the release date window for Halo Infinite has been narrowed down to, quote, a few weeks.
Let me just say this, all right? I really don't think they need to try to break their necks to get this out this year. It's already the end of June, basically. I am not a big fan of Halo. You guys know I will take any opportunity to trash on Halo, and I will do it gladly. But the multiplayer stuff they showed off during E3 weekend did look good.
It did. It wasn't bad, for sure.
The multiplayer is going free to play, so it's really hard to be mad at that.
And it looked like Halo. That's the biggest takeaway, that it didn't look like Fortnite Halo. It looked like just Halo,
which is cool. Yes. But for me, that means it also looks like it's 2005. So,
all right,
for
let's remove ourselves, Norris, because I'm with you. I'm not a Halo guy, But just taking a look at what Halo fans have gone through with this development process,
so unfair to them.
It was supposed to come out back in, you know, with the launch of the Xbox, but they delayed it. Now, by the time it does come out, it's going to be a year since the Xbox launches, okay? Now, on top of that, how many different, like, directors have they gone through that has changed hands?
Quite a few. It's a revolving door. So here's what I feel, and maybe somebody enlighten me because I'm not keyed into the Halo community. But when I hear something like this, why is the same level of vitriol not directed at Halo that I hear about every time Tetsuya Nomura directs a Final Fantasy, everything that happened with Cyberpunk and its delays? Why don't you get the same level of anger and vitriol, because this game was supposed to be a launch title, and on top of that,
the launch title,
and the Halo community hasn't had anything of import for the past, almost 6 years?
Let me make an argument. It may not be a good argument, but I'm going to try to make it anyways. I think the majority of the Halo fan base is not like, they don't pay attention to stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, Halo transcended into Doritos and bro territory, right? Yeah. Like, people would just want to play Halo. They don't really care about, like, the drop rate on the bullets of the sniper rifle.
But at the same time...
I think I know what it is.
Go hit him.
And I think he has a point, right? People who are into Halo are into Halo, and they're going to be playing Halo. till the next one comes out.
And then they'll just play that one.
They're not in like this weird limbo where they're like waiting for it and frothing at the
mouth.
What?
I think the people who were waiting around for Halo fucked around and just started playing Warzone. I think that's what happened. I think you have a product that comes out every year, whether we like it or not. It's going to drop. People are going to be excited. You're going to play it. The player base is going to be healthy no matter what, and you're going to have a good time. That's what happened. And I just look at it from a sense of everybody keep the same energy. This is one of the most beloved franchises in all the video games, and it just feels like nobody is upset that it's delayed. I've not heard. We are the first people I've heard actually be somewhat upset about it.
To be fair, I don't think they should be mad that it's delayed, so long as when it comes out, it's good. There you go.
I feel you.
All right. Taking a book from Fortnite's pages, the Sims series.
You mean taking a page from Fortnite's book?
What did I say?
Taking a book from its pages.
Holy shit. I'm so hopped up on allergy meds right now, guys. I'm all over the place. But they're coming out with Sims Sessions, which is going to be an in-game music festival that has already started running from, or I'm sorry, sorry, starts at, see, I did it again, June 29th, and will run through July 7th, featuring songs from Glass Animals, Joy, Oladokun, and Baby Rexha. I've never heard of Baby Rexha.
What the fuck? Uncultured swine.
Yeah, sure.
Here's the question. Who's the Sims audience for this?
Everybody.
You got to say everybody, because the Sims audience is everybody.
Okay.
According to Kotaku, the Sims series over the year have partnered with over 500 musical artists since 2004.
Which makes sense to put their music in the games like that. Listen, this is smart. Mm-hmm. And the reason why this is smart is because The Sims has the kind of saturation. Now, I'm not saying people are playing it the same way they were playing it in like 2007.
Yeah.
But it has a saturation rate of this is a mom game. Mm-hmm. This is a game that moms,
the mom
kids,
game.
Everybody in the family has played or is playing The Sims in some way, shape, or form. And the thing about it that I think is smart about this is video games are starting to follow what I like to call the Tony Hawk model. What does that mean? That Tony Hawk's Pro Skater was a vessel to start breaking and exposing people to new music. And now,
Guitar Hero
took established music and established artists, licensed it, and made you play it on a fake guitar. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater was taking indie bands, ska bands.
Oh, I see. They also increased visibility for lesser known artists.
And what I think video games need to start doing, especially games with these high saturation rates that are across the board, if I'm a label, or if I'm a producer or whatever, manager, I'm looking at two things. How the fuck do I get my artists on Fortnite or The Sims or something?
Something.
And how do I then get them featured on some Spotify playlist?
I think the other thing, too, that's interesting about this is like music events and whatnot. We're starting to see, obviously, like, or we've seen for a while, the crossover of like pop culture and video game
worlds, right? Yeah.
Is music events the tent pole that's going to bring in the most people, or do you think we're going to see something in the future that does a better job at just bringing in those like on the edges people than music
events? I think what we saw with the Travis Scott thing in Fortnite is a look into what's possible, right? Mm-hmm. I think if you're able to create an entire, especially once VR gets affordable,
yes,
and more people are able to actually have it in their homes, or, you know, have it communicate with whatever VR they already have.
Whatever chips planted in their head.
Exactly. I think that becomes immediately more compelling, because if I could have been to that Travis Scott concert in VR.
Yo, yes.
That would have been one of the dopest experiences I think you probably ever could have had playing a video game. And so I think, to your point, Rick, I think music festivals don't have to be the tent pole, but you, like me, I'm sure have been to...
It's an easy entry point. Who doesn't listen to music?
Who doesn't listen to music? Yeah. But you've been to Movement. Have you ever been to a silent disco?
I've DJed tons of silent discos.
So, you know, if people are willing to do some shit like a silent disco in the middle of a festival...
Yeah.
You could put on some VR headsets
and have it just popping.
And just have it popping. And people are just like, look at these weirdos in this tent. You know how weird you have to be looked at as the weirdos at Coachella?
Yeah.
That's what it would be. But it'd be fun.
I mean, that's like what you when you try to explain a silent disco to people, and they go, "Oh, well, no, like other people can't hear the music. It's just in your headphones. So you're like, you're just dancing by yourself. Like,
yeah,
who cares? It's if you think that's more embarrassing to explain than VR Fortnite concert.
Yeah,
I don't know.
No, actually, you actually got a good point. That is significantly less embarrassing than saying, "Yes, let's put on headphones in person and dance to music no one else can hear." It's pretty weird. Anyway, every now and then we have to check on what I like to call the Checkpoint XP Racist Barometer segment, and we have a new entry.
Oh wait, do you hear that rising right now?
Yes, it is rising. So apparently, the developers of a military shooter called Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts 2,
wow, which I didn't know the first title.
Apparently, you know, they brought in some influencers and some journalists and stuff to a hotel and bust them to a shooting range, you know, like one of those.
Dude, I feel so masculine talking about this. Keep going. One of those
training ranges,
this is
right?
This is a new video game.
Yeah.
So they took them to a firing range to play the video game?
No. They took them to a shooting range where there were shooting drills and all of the targets were dressed up as jihadists and Arab dudes and terrorists.
Well, honey. First off, we're going to start with the fact of, like, nerds and journalists are the last people I want to be arming up and taking to a gun range and firing at.
Yeah.
Them.
As an influencer, if you're showing me a product, show me the product, not what your product is based on.
Who the fuck thinks, you know what we need to do? We need to get Ninja. And then once we have Ninja, we're going to make him shoot a gun.
Yeah, now, to be fair, I don't think the guns were placed in the nerds' hands. There was a series of simulated drills that they were
That's even worse.
Witness. Really. It is even worse, and that's how I feel about it. But to me, not only is this weird and gross and high-key racist, apparently there was some flag that they could see from the training place, according to Kotaku, that said, Trump 2024, the Revenge Tour.
Oh, what? what the?
Hold on. Can you read the name of the title one more time?
Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts 2.
You think that they would not be flying a Trump 2024
No, it
flag?
All checks out.
This is the most on-brand thing I've ever heard.
This is S-tier racism right here.
Yeah, but the point is, I don't want to say S, it's B+. But
okay.
The thing is...
No, you're right.
Is that
yeah.
I've heard of some really creative ways to promote your video game. Sniper Warrior Contracts 2, CI Games, whoever you are, this ain't it.
Hold on. CI Games?
Yes.
Covert intelligence?
That's 100% ran by the CIA.
No, it's 100% not.
Propaganda.
It's not a PSYOP, Robbie. Anyway.
Oh, no.
It's not a PSYOP.
Like
all right?
Propaganda
but
here.
I'm just saying, there's plenty of cool things you could have did. You could have ran some ARG. You could have sent a swag box like a normal fucking game company. But no. You decided you were going to be contrarian and take people to a shooting range where they shoot a bunch of guys in turbans and thought that they were going to have a positive reaction to that.
How did this game get a sequel?
The bigger thing is, like, how many people signed off? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't one person in that email
who said,
chain.
Maybe we can just have guys in balaclavas
and
tactical gear. That's all you would need. That offends no one.
How did
There's
no one
no
say...
support group. There's no support group for balaclava man. There's no march. There's no march for ski mask man. That doesn't exist, okay? So that's all you would have had to do. It's so dumb.
Somebody could have just said, let them play our game.
Exactly. No, because it probably is not great. That's the last thing they want people to do.
Well, this isn't that great either. So,
anyway, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we're going to talk about the crazy-ass trading card community and why I continue to hate you and why you need to stop spending money on little bitty pieces of cardboard. But anyway, to each his own. We got more coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. Weird Beard to my left, Robbie Landis to my right. Don't forget to check out the website, checkpointxp.com, and let everybody know that you get all your gaming and nerd knowledge from us. Talk to girls using this knowledge, or boys, or whatever. Whatever floats your boat, use your new knowledge to impress the romantic interest in your life. Persona has taught me that this kind of knowledge is very effective certain people. It's valuable. Very valuable. So if you are trying to maximize your social links, you need to make sure you're on checkpointxp.com. Now, Robbie, you brought this story to me this morning, and I was upset at you.
Look, don't be upset at me, but this is, at least since the pandemic, it's a story that keeps on giving. You know, the Pokemon card craze has reemerged. It's caught on like wildfire.
Grown-ass men are beating each other up at Target.
Yep. Floyd, you know, Mayweather, the Logan Paul fights, putting it on, you know, headlines all over the place. And the industry itself, the actual, like, card grading industry has grown by, like, 3,000% as a result of it.
So dumb.
And up until this point, I think that the most expensive card ever sold was not quite half a million. It's somewhere within like 300,000 to 400,000, but it is a Charizard card of some sort.
All right.
But that record was sort of almost nearly shattered in a way over in China, where a Yu-Gi-Oh! Blue Eyes White Dragon 20th anniversary gold edition card, which was announced back in 2018, thought to have been, you know, expected value around $45,000. On eBay, saw a jump up to $13.4 million.
That's
bid.
So dumb! Do you know what you can do with $13 million outside of having a piece of cardboard wrapped in a piece of plastic surrounded by clear plastic?
Well, these are like NFTs, man. It's literally what can you get people to buy for it. So it's not about if I pay $13.4 million. It's once I do that, people then regard all cards to go up in value, and you can resell it.
I am not a fan of intrinsic value, right, okay? I'm not a fan of something if it does not have use to spend that much money on it.
To be fair, this did actually, in a way, have use. The jump was very suspicious. Within a few minutes of the auction going live, it jumped up to 77,000 in sort of normal increments. And then it started going pretty crazy. And the car was actually taken off, wasn't actually sold. And what people are currently thinking based on who the bidder was, it was actually
Seto Kaiba.
That's who I thought it was.
Exactly.
I legit thought it was Seto Kaiba. Like, this is
oh my gosh,
you know, this is something that's stupid, but anyway, it definitely has to be nefarious in nature.
Yes, it was nefarious in nature. It was basically someone trying to find a way to sort of sell off and hide their assets.
Oh, they're trying to embezzle. They were trying to embezzle the ill-gotten gains through the Yu-Gi-Oh card.
One of the other things too, though, is like okay, Yu-Gi-Oh cards weren't on the radar, right? Pokemon cards. What other trading card games do you think are going to blow up out of nowhere?
I mean, the thing is, baseball cards haven't gone anywhere. Baseball, basketball cards haven't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think if you are just a scalper, if you're just somebody looking for the wave, that at some point you probably dabble in that area as well. But the thing about it is Magic, there's too many Magic cards in circulation and too many people actually play Magic the game. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, to make Magic that big thing.
Well, on a massive scale, you know, stuff like the Black Lotus, for example.
Still big.
That makes sense because, as you said, they do still play Magic. Magic's going to be around forever. So seeing value in the older Magic cards like that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Even Pokemon cards, to an extent, makes sense because, first of all, those generation, you know, that generation, millennials, you know, Gen Zers, you know, we grew up on that stuff. We refused to let it go, and now you have content creators out there making money to be able to
That's the difference between what card collectors in this whole industry was before in what it is now. I think if you don't have that community on Twitch and streaming and people,
it would not have came back.
It would not have came back in the level that it is.
Who's the rapper who turned Twitch streamer? Logic.
Logic. Yes.
Yeah, because I think he was the one who kind of really right at the start of the pandemic. I feel like he was the first one who you know rebought one of those Charizard cards for insane prices, yeah. And that kicked it back off.
So this is just another thing in the list of things millennials have ruined, right?
That millennials have saved.
Oh, okay.
We single-handedly saved the trading card thing.
It should have stayed ruined.
That's what I'm saying.
It should have stayed ruined. This is it. Listen, I've watched enough episodes of Antique Roadshow to know that people will spend copious amounts of money on things that are really dumb.
Yep.
But at least those things are like, oh, this was made in 1942 and is made of real steel. Or, yeah, this is Marie Antoinette's, you know, chiffon robe or whatever the fuck. A fucking piece of cardboard printed out.
But it doesn't have a shadow on it.
Are they the millennial are they the 21st century version of Beanie Babies, essentially?
No, because
Beanie Babies have value. I mean, No. I messed up.
Okay, all right.
I was trying to say these cards have value.
Beanie Babies ain't going nowhere.
The Beanie Babies didn't. I remember the experts coming out saying these things will not have value. They've made too many of them.
I remember the video of there was a couple who got divorced. And they had like pictures and video of them in court with this giant pile of Beanie Babies.
Like, who's going to inherit the Beanie Babies?
Yeah, like one, the woman would take one, the man would take one. And
I remember the manatee one specifically. I remember there was one that was a manatee that was like, if you had the manatee Beanie Baby, like that was the one. Like, if you got it, holy shit, you got $800 on your hands.
I had a
Ty Manny the Manatee goes for $2,000 on eBay.
Yes! I told you!
Still nothing compared to a Charizard card.
No! Nothing at all! And this is what I'm saying is that, guys, stop doing this.
Please.
If you have millions of dollars to spend on anything, you know what I'd rather you do? I'd rather you go buy stock. I'd rather you go save GameStop.
Yeah, take whatever you're going
I'd rather you go, I don't know, do something for a Make-A-Wish kid. There's other things that money can. You know what? Start a game company. Start your own trading card company. With $13 million, you can start your own game studio, make your own money heretofore. So that's what I would do. I just see this as a massive waste of money, a massive waste of time. And just like NFTs, in my opinion, the only thing this is used for is for people who have ill-gotten money and they need a way to wash their funds.
Totally.
So with that said, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We will be back on Monday, so make sure you guys stick around for that. For Weird Beard and Robbie Landis, I am your host, Norris Howard, and we hope you guys have a great weekend. Go see Fast 9.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.